Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. I'm so excited. I have Marjan Mamui here on the call today. She's a Los Angeles businesswoman, philanthropist, and serial volunteer, and also certified energy practitioner for many celebrities. Marjan, thank you so much for being on the call today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. You have no idea. I really appreciate you sharing my voice, and hopefully I can help someone out there going through the same thing I am.
Great. So what do you want to start with first to really just like your process and, you know, who you are as a person, who you are as a businesswoman, as a healer? Where do you want to start with your story?
Well, what I want to focus on, and I find that it's really important and it hasn't been shared on many levels, is for those that don't know, I am a Hodgkin's lymphatic cancer survivor. So I am one of those individuals that is categorized as high risk during this pandemic. And I just wanted to share a little bit about what I'm doing and what others should be doing that are high risk or not, and as a preventative measure.
That's fantastic. I think with the pandemic, we all are in this together, whether we're staying home, we're self-quarantining, we're using sterile procedure, but then some people, depending on, you know, there's now we know that at all different ages, you know, we know that there's immunocompromised, whether it's from cancer, whether it's from lupus, whether it's because of your age or if you were a smoker. There's even studies that show that people who have obesity, there's just all different risk factors, and we don't know. COVID-19 is something that's still unfolding. And so I know when Marjan found out, wow, we really need to stay at home, I think you and I were about to do something socializing and your intuition's like, nope, I need to lock this down. And I think you did it maybe 5 days sooner than a lot of people did, because it just, you listen to your inner voice. And I think when we're taking care of our health and our well-being, it's so important to tune into our own situation. So I think that's what you did, right?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's so important just to trust yourself and your intuition and just, you know, what you're feeling and not give in to your peers for a place of peace and solitude, especially during this whole pandemic. I found that, ironically, this brought up trauma for me, and it took me back to when I was fighting cancer, but interestingly enough, we're all going through this together. So in other words, I'm not fighting a lymphatic cancer and two tumors. I'm trying to shield my body from an outside virus that we have nothing to protect us from. So I immediately went into researching all these different vitamins and different things that I can take to become shielded and the warrior as I'm out there trying to face the unknown and just to take preventative measures. So what I've done is I researched a lot about just different vitamins. So I'm taking daily doses of vitamin C, vitamin D, multivitamins, vitamin or zinc, your omegas, all these different, D3 especially, and trying to go out for the walk and to get the sunshine safely as much as I can, just for peace of mind. So it just brought upon the whole trauma I had with dealing with going through the chemotherapy and the radiation and how I kept my immune system guarded, as well as trying to recover and get better. But this is bringing up that whole dilemma again. So I really feel like... Yes.
So this is a good time. I think what's important for all of us is, okay, we're staying healthy. And people know that I'm a proponent of integrative medicine, East meets West, and we want to have the right amount of sleep. We want to have an anti-inflammation nutrition plan. We want to take vitamins. We want to have positive interactions and limit doses of people who might be highly fear-based. I've talked about epigenetics, that 80 to 90% of what we think, do, ingest, eat, and our behavior influences our DNA, which influences our immune system. And what Marjan's talking about, and this happens for all of us, I see this in my practice, and it happens for all of us as individuals. Whenever we go through a cycle of crisis, stabilization, and thrive, whether it's with our health, our finances. And what Marjan's talking about, and what's really common, is if now we're faced with this unknown possible something that can really, really play upon us if we're immunocompromised, this virus, it can bring back memories. Our DNA holds memories to other types of traumas, whether they be physical or mental. And so what Marjan's talking about is she went back to that time. And now I'm going to let her talk more about her process with it, but I want everyone to know this is very common. I see this in my practice. The same thing if I'm treating someone with depression or anxiety. Sometimes you might hear a song or a word that takes you back to a time in your life where you were sad or you were upset. So for a lot of people, this COVID-19 could be triggering times when you had financial loss or other unknown, and it might not all make sense. So you can have waves of emotion throughout the day when you're watching the news, and it's just all very normal for us. And then it's so important that we take control of our health, our physical health, and our mental health. And so Marjan was so gracious to now share her process of surviving cancer and kind of what that meant to her, and then what this means to her right now, which so many of us can relate to.
Thanks, Denise. And I think you brought some great valid points, because this actually did bring a lot of trauma up. It brought up a lot of things for myself, like the fact that my family is so spread apart around the world that I don't have that, support system. So how can I look within myself to get that support system and love and self-care for myself? In case there is an emergency, like what is the protocol? How do I think ahead? How do I take care of myself? How do I, the financial stress, there was one point in my life when I did lose a great amount of money several times. So that triggered that, like, oh, how am I going to get through this? Financially, is that going to be something when this is all over? Are we going to, given the economy, like all these fear factors come up. And it's strange because of the fact that I had that illness and because I had cancer and I overcame it, it actually is helping me get through the crisis, because I was not aware of the light at the end of the tunnel. I didn't see it. As far as I was concerned, I was dying, and I was completely out of control with my body. I was just shocked that this could have even happened. But I got through it. I got through it, and fast forward, here I am. So
can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Besides the tangible immune system, vitamins, exercise, nutrition, good sleep, would you be comfortable sharing your faith and any of your higher power or how you access different energy as part of your own healing and who you are as a woman and as a healer?
Oh, 100%. I really feel that you have to have a sense of strength through And in something that you believe in, whatever that is, whatever that source is, I happen to be very spiritual and, with the work that I do, and the things that I have experienced in life, to know that there, I have felt something more profound around me, that has somehow gotten me through different crises. But that's been my experience. So I really strongly encourage everybody and anyone to find what that source is. And work on it, whether it's meditation, whether it's, you love to do yoga, whether it's music, we all have something that gives us some sort of relief. It doesn't have to be if there's a lot of atheists out there as well, so it doesn't have to, but everyone needs something. I think hope and inspiration has to be found somehow, some way.
You know what I was thinking? How words carry their own vibration? And sometimes when people hear the word spiritual, they think religious, they think this. And so what I want to clarify is really connecting with your highest human spirit. And so this can be all encompassing and includes people who don't believe in God, because I had an amazing discussion with this cardiothoracic anesthesiologist that I'm going to have on my show next week. And he's agnostic, but his morality, his love, his sense of the human spirit, you can have different levels of higher power and give back and have high morality. So I want to make sure that, you know, whether you are Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, you're Islamic, or you don't believe in God, that having a sense of going within and reaching your higher self, and for a lot of people, they connect with God or Allah or Buddha or Jesus or the ascended masters. And people who don't believe oftentimes connect with someone that's their maybe modern day hero or someone that was a human being that stood up for liberties and civil liberties and anti-racism. So I think I'd like to make sure that when I talk about the word spiritual, it's all encompassing and it's like the human spirit. And that means however else you want to access something outside of yourself and go deeper within.
I think that was beautifully said. And I don't know where this stems from, like this, it is inner strength or spiritualism. But I find, like, as I was growing up through the most difficult times in my life, I have found somehow some way to feel confident that there is something out there, and that's what has been guiding me through. And especially when I did have cancer, when I thought, you know what, that this is it, I'm going to die very young. Somehow, some way, it comforted me to know that I was going to be okay, even if I was to go. Yes, I was going to miss certain things, but there was a sense of comfort in that, and that's what's getting me through this situation. I think that, you know, I'm very hopeful, and yes, I have my down days, and I feel that's okay to have down days. We're only human, right? I mean, we can't always, you know, we question things. I think when serious crises do come up.
For sure. You know what I was thinking, because that you and I had such a good discussion, you know, some of the days that have been tougher, can you talk about, I don't know if you had a point you were going to say, so I'll let you finish that. But then what came to mind is I spoke about this on one of the other shows. You told me, and I've had this happen too, where when we're in self-quarantine or staying at home, there's certain texts that we get. Like, all texts and all communications with people aren't created equal. And I think we're realizing that sometimes we get off the phone with someone and we're like, wow, that was so inspiring, or wow, that was a tough call. So are you experiencing some days that are tougher based on communication with different people? How is that affecting your mental health and you protecting yourself?
That's such a great point, because I think based on the fact that everyone is afraid and no one, you know, there's so much unknown going on. I'm getting a lot of texts and regarding different conspiracy theories, you know, their emotional anger towards Trump and how he's dealing with the crises, and the questioning of the ballot numbers and statistics, and even like protocol, like hydrochloroquine, you know, and just various questions. Even the fact that this whole thing is part of the New World Order from the early 1900s to control the masses, that they release certain viruses, you know, to make profit and revenue for, you know, certain pharma companies, and, you know, how Bill Gates is involved, and how this is a big satanic ritual being condoned. So, I mean, there's so much of that going on.
I just want to echo that, because I just launched an interview with Jarnell Stokes. He's just back from China. He's a professional basketball player. And he had done some reading on that, and he's getting people contacting him. In fact, I have a 3 o'clock call with someone that's like, Denise, the world's about to end, and we need the 10 smartest people. And like, he's like, literally, like, he thinks, and by the way, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't want to disrespect all viewpoints. And so when I get texts like that, what I try to do is, you know, I really like to honor the person, but then I have to check in with myself. And I spoke to a high-level healer that I'm going to have on the show in a couple weeks too. And she and I talked about usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. And she, by the way, is very, in my point, like she's very scientific. She has a PhD. She's part of, you know, the time of the Cold War. She's part of the Institute of Remote Viewing and she's worked with the FBI, been at Princeton. And so she sent me some data from the government. So we try, not that we are going to trust any, like we have to have a critical way. And that's what Jarnell and I talked about, of raising our children and also reminding ourselves that when we take in information, to almost take a mindfulness approach, like read it, but then also step outside of it and then try to get multiple sources. But then we have to go, well, what can I control in my own universe, my own mind? And I've been saying to my clients and on the show that if we can wake up right now or any day and say, I have my health, I have food, shelter, clothing. Wow, if I have a sense of purpose and some love, I am so wealthy. Because a lot of people pre-pandemic, you know, I think the other thing that this pandemic is doing for us is reminding us that there's 7.7 billion people on the planet. And there's a lot of people that don't have those things, like 1 billion, I think, all the time. And now everyone's sort of having this group thought process. So it's really interesting. And Marjan, the way I handled it when I got that text from someone, I watched 10 minutes. One time I did watch the whole movie that he sent me 2 weeks ago. And then I'm like, okay, I don't need to watch a bunch of those movies now. And then I'm like, okay, did that, signed up for that, was open-minded, got information. And then yesterday or 2 days ago, his text, I watched 1/4 of it. And then I'm like, okay, I've got patients to talk to. I've got workouts to do, my son. And then I'm like, I'm going to get data from high-level other people. And so I have kind of like the truth is somewhere in the middle and like a scientific, but then I do, of course, I'm human. So sometimes if you get anything, if you're caught off guard, you can engage in conversations you don't need to with people. So tell us your process of being mindful when you get a text like that, or how you ingest social media, the news, and phone calls with friends and relatives.
Well, first of all, my background is sociology, anthropology. So I find all of this really fascinating, because if you look at the history and what happened after World War II and how everyone was suspicious of, you know, communism, and they would report their neighbors, like this whole fear factor was created, but because everyone didn't know what was going on at the time, it kind of feels like the same thing is happening, but I respect what is going around, and I do like to be educated with what people are thinking, because like you said, there's a middle ground for anything and everything, and I want to be open to that. So I'm not the type of person that would shut anything down or anyone's viewpoint only because I find it, you know, find it educational in some way. But I will not allow it to interfere with my peace and harmony daily, because if you get too much into the extreme of anything, I feel that it's going to take you possibly to a dark side or to a scared or fear-based side. And right now, I think it's still important to remain, you know, as clear-headed and positive that you can, just for your own mental well-being and physical well-being, that you're not taking on everyone's fear and everyone's energy and everyone's anxiety and what everyone's talking about. That can be too overwhelming. So just like yourself, I just kind of read it. You know, I find it interesting. I love even astrology and like what they see in the planets right now based on all the, you know, all the points and the angles and, you know, all these things, you know, are interesting to me, because once we're done with this, it would be interesting to see how or what the impact had during the time that we were going through this whole issue. I think it's fascinating.
So back to your health, and just thank you for all those great points that you're making. So I think when someone's gone through a health issue like you have, where you thought I might die, and a lot of people, like I know someone that just told me, oh, I just got my life insurance policy, because they're like, it's almost like when you have an illness, when you're elderly, when your lungs might be compromised and you're, you know, I call it grab and go with the news. Like, how do we stay informed and not get sucked in? I think we all think about our mortality and like what's so important for me in my life. And right now, as a society and as a group, as a collective, a human collective, we're all in what I would say crisis mode. And part of good mental health and physical health, I always like to talk about, is awareness, self-love, and altruism. And the other thing that's really nice is if we know our health is okay that day, we get a lot of benefits when we reach out, whether we smile at our neighbor. If someone isn't immunocompromised, they can help deliver groceries. We can do kind things. And I want everyone to know that Marjan, I think, also really knows how to give back. And maybe we can talk a little bit about, you know, pre-pandemic, a little bit of the work that you've done to give back. And by the way, everyone, I am doing this show from home and my son's getting super wild right now. So I'm going to let Marjan answer a little bit about the work she's done with Maria Shriver while I go ask him to just quiet it down a little bit. So go ahead and talk. I'll be right back while you start talking.
Okay, thank you so much. I find that we all have ways of giving back to make ourselves feel better. And if that's what you'd love to do and it makes you feel good, then because I really felt fortunate that I had the extension of my life, and in doing so, I was like, you know, I was so grateful. I wanted to be able to give back in some way just to be a better person, and just the fact that I just wanted to make my presence be for myself, my idea of being worthy as to what my soul mission is here.
Right.
And I found it important to do that by, you know, joining the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, for example. I was a mentor for them. I raised over $250,000 right after my treatment was over. I ran the San Diego Marathon because I could barely walk, like, you know, a couple feet without being in excruciating pain. Like, I had, the treatment was really, really aggressive. So I was, like, so adamant and determined to make changes. And I still try to as much as I can. I joined, I was very lucky that I was introduced to Maria Shriver.
Yeah, that's fantastic, by the way. I just love her soul, who she is. I just, when I heard that, I know you and I just talked briefly about that yesterday in preparation for today. And I want to have a discussion with you even more so off show, but I just want to say what Maria does, she just, her soul's so pure. I know that she, you know, she obviously has family that's very involved in all kinds of different, you know, political things, but my impression of her is that she's the real deal.
She's so amazing. She's so down to earth, and she's just so loving and encouraging. And what she does, even right now, I mean, they had a very, very horrible loss in the family, and she still continues to give back and be supportive during her own trauma that she's going through right now. So someone like that, that I was fortunate enough to work with and also join with her Alzheimer's movement, you know, was just, it was just such an honor. And getting involved with my holistic work as far as, you know, energy, being a certified energy therapist to help others during whatever crisis they were going through, was just, it was healing for myself. So the healer is being healed by healing others. So
yes,
beautiful reciprocated energy and love and compassion for everything and everyone that I felt that needed to be shared. And I'm hoping that the upside of the pandemic is going to bring upon more of this. So we're going to be more involved with our environment. We're going to be more involved with health, more involved with being community-based and cooperative and neighborly, you know, based on the fact that we're all going through a trauma together. And I feel that you have to go through trauma of some sort in order to grow and to be just to be a better person. I mean, that's your option. That's the choice.
Absolutely.
That we have.
So that's what I love when you look. I know you studied sociology and anthropology. You've survived cancer. And then even going into the pandemic, you were in a job transition. And so I think I'm going to relate this to you in one moment, but for all of us, we go through times where we are suffering. And if you look at medicine, science, mathematics, you know, history, religion, when we go into the suffering, if we're open and we want to sort of ask, what am I going to experience and how can I grow? And acknowledge all your feelings. Because I think one of the biggest mistakes we can make is not allowing ourselves to have the human experience of sadness or anger or fear, but not just stay in it. So then we have to have tools, whether it's listening to good music, reaching out to a friend, or if you need to seek professional help, if you are having, you know, more clinical depression or anxiety, it's so important that if we are suffering, that we allow ourselves to experience it, but then we are actually doing something proactive so that we can feel better and we can level up.
That's so true. And it doesn't matter what that proactive is. And it could be like walking an extra mile. It could be like simple goals. Like, I don't think we should, you know, one thing is someone told me, they said, you know, you can make an impact on that one person, and that one person could be end up running for president the way the domino effect is, and they can change everything. So if you do a simple act for one person and that person expands and gives that to another person and so forth and so on, and on we go, that is a massive effect. That's a huge domino effect. And we forget that. We forget that our little act of kindness, our random smile, could have maybe saved that person's life that day. Or like, you don't realize the impact that you can have by just being kind and compassionate. And I love
what you're saying. I'm like smiling. I know this is an audio interview and we're going to do some Zoom interviews soon where you can see faces. But what I want to say is it's so important. It's like, when individuals thrive, we all thrive, inspire all. When we light up, and lighting up does not have to be something so big. Lighting up can be the smile. Everything Marjan's talking about, that is the secret to happiness and growth, gratitude, and then like helping each other. You know, of course, one thing I think you and I might want to briefly talk about is some of us tend to have the pendulum swing too much to helping others and we don't put our own oxygen mask on first. And so I think one thing we want to remember is to do self-care and self-love. And then when we have the energy to give more to others, or if while we're doing self-care and self-love, we can integrate helping others. But sometimes people are so loving and so empathic that they put the oxygen mask on for others before themselves. And I think that's something that I've talked about when we talk about empaths. But your point about the ripple effect of kindness and love, and that this time, there's so much opportunity to do good. There's so much. And it sounds like you really feel that.
I really feel that. And I feel also that, and you're more experienced with, obviously, your profession than myself, but I feel that a lot of people are in denial because they haven't gone through a mortality issue or fear-based, like, concerning their mortality. And I find that different people are taking this in different stages. I mean, some people are still in disbelief and they're not wearing their masks and they don't feel, you know, they think it's a hoax or, you know, but then there's others that have gone through a crisis like this that are like, oh no, this is really real. You know, things are happening. I mean, I have a sister that is on the front line dealing with this daily. And, you know, when I...
She's a doctor and she's in the United Kingdom, correct?
Correct, yeah. And so, you know, so there's a level of awareness and it brings up mortality and I, you know, and disbelief and numbness to really what's going on. It's like a surreal type of issue that's going on, the pandemic. I mean, we have never been through a pandemic before. I mean, this is, it's interesting to see all the different stages of what people are going through and experiencing right now and coming up with. But, I mean, what are your thoughts, Denise? Like, how can we, because it is surreal.
It is surreal. Well, how can we
deal with the that's probably a very deep discussion.
No, it's okay. I'm good. I can go there. I just want to make sure I really listen to your question.
I'm just thinking, how do we deal with something or someone that is not taking this seriously?
Oh, like, gosh. Okay. Well, I've gotten the funniest. Okay. Let's use a little humor here. I've had people that are like, oh my God, WTF. My husband doesn't believe in this. I've had people text me that their spouses, like, they're in some states, they're still not, I don't know if it's stay at home everywhere. A lot of people are just doing it, but not all the states are equal. And so I've had people saying, my spouse isn't washing his hands enough. He goes to the office. Even if he's in his own, there's only four or five people in the office. I don't know if he's really truly social distancing. And so there's people who maybe aren't taking it seriously. Then I have people that are close to me that, you know, we've been, Kieran, my son and I have been, gosh, is it 5 weeks? We've done mostly self-quarantine social distancing, but there was one day for his birthday where someone got a little too close and it really upset me. And I was like, why did I even, because it was his birthday. And then I knew where everyone had been. So I also say, I've been doing pretty damn good, but we can have one day where we don't. And that can like make, it can compromise things, you know? And so how I feel about it is we have to educate and we have to be kind. And when my friend called, the one where her husband wasn't doing it, I sent her an article. I don't know if I had that article to put the link up, like how to talk to someone, how to do it in a way. And I sent her a movie. I think it was that movie that I sent you at the beginning of all this, that showed the doctor from Cornell that gave all the data as to why, like how he does sterile procedure. He's in the ICU. It was a really nice movie. So what I did, and people can do this, is you can find an article and maybe sit down as a family, or if you're just in isolation or self-quarantine and, you know, you want to educate someone, you could find something and in a loving way say, this is really real. And the surreal part of it, like my own son, he's been so like, for him, this pandemic, as long as we're healthy, knock on wood, he did have a cold for 2 weeks. And then I ended up having a cold, one day of fever and a cough. And then you're like, is it a cold? Is it this? And so I actually was really sick in January. And I just, by the way, this is interesting. I just saw something that Stanford thinks that the reason why California isn't accelerating at the rate New York is they think that we might have herd immunity and that people might have traveled from China and that we might have been, some of us have been exposed. And all the symptoms I had in January when I missed 2 weeks of work, my son lost 10% of his body weight. And I was like, I'm never, ever going to mess around with the flu. And I was told I had the flu. They didn't do the test, but I think I might have, and we don't have universal antibodies. I think I might have been exposed when I went to this really nice nightclub where there's like successful business people on New Year's Eve. I may have had it. I'm interested to see if I have the antibodies. I think all of us are like, yay, let's get a vaccine. Or maybe if we've had a mild or asymptomatic or something, you know, do we have the antibodies? So I may or may not have already had it. I'm scientifically wondering. So you asked about the surreal part. For right now, my son, the part of getting super sick is real for him. Because we were so sick in January, he lost 10% of his body weight. And the reason why my ex was like, Denise, but then you would have given it to so many people. I'm like, no, I wouldn't have, because I stayed home from work. I kept him home from school. I kept our housekeeper out. I protected everyone, right? And so I don't know if I had it or not. So my son, for the first time in his life in January, felt like, Mom, I could have died. That's how bad he felt. And then recently, when we've had this pandemic, this is just my own experience of real or surreal with my son and I. He's been like so happy at home. He loves being here. He's doing homeschool. But when we saw one of our neighbors, you know, the fire truck and the ambulance pulled up and we were looking over the balcony and someone literally, you know, left their home on a gurney and went to the ICU. And it was because of this current pandemic. And now, thank God, they're home and it's so beautiful. There's a welcome home sign on their house. And because I'm a doctor in the community, everyone's telling me who has it and who doesn't. There's not like shame. It's almost like, okay, we're in this together. So part of it is surreal and part of it's not. The part that's surreal right now for me is like, are you kidding me? We're really just in our homes all the time and now we're wearing masks, but I know we need to do it. But sometimes I'm like, are we in our own contagion film? Yes, we are. So that's the part, right? right? Like, I don't need to watch any movies now about like viruses or, you know, one of my dear friends was always into the virus movies because they look like molecular biology. And by the way, I'm a biology major and I'm an MD. And now I'm like, first of all, I was never into those books, but now I'm like, oh my gosh, I need comedy right now. I need, you know, reality-based solutions for fiscal stuff. How are we going to pay our bills? I think the other part that's really that you brought up about finance, I think if we get to, because now, like someone asked on one of my shows, okay, we're going to get through, like, we're like at the peak time right now as we're doing this show where we all need to really stay home. We need to flatten the curve, right, in the United States. And then we have to look at the financial fallout. You know, there's such high unemployment. People are hoping to get checks for food, shelter, clothing. I think you just told me before we got on the call, oh my gosh, it's property tax day. And then I told you, well, I'm not looking at my bank accounts till Saturday. Right, right. So like the way I do it too is I have my yellow legal pad and then I have my like creative entrepreneur, like visionary pad. And on my yellow pad is like, okay, pay this bill, call this person, see if I can negotiate a lower office rent, do this, do that. What can I control? And I think you and I even talked about it. One of my girlfriends, I'm like, listen, if we have to like lower, like I had my landlord, he was so kind here. I asked him if I could put a certain amount of money from my deposit check towards rent. And he was totally cool with that. I'm going to probably ask him the same this month. Who knows if he'll say yes or no. But I'm like, hey, we can all get creative. Number one, I talked to the mayor of Manhattan Beach, and wherever you live, everyone, find out what the laws are in your region, whether it's the United States or anywhere in the world. Because in our neck of the woods right now in LA County, there's 90-day moratorium. Like people cannot be evicted. People, if you don't pay your office rent or your home rent, a lot of mortgages are allowing you no paying your mortgages for 3 months and then they figure something out on the back end. So I think with this financial unknown, that's another thing that it's interesting. We're kind of all in that together too. And some people are like still having prosperous earnings and other people are like, oh my goodness, is my job going to be there when I'm done with this? So what do you think? I mean, I think, okay, to answer your question, is it surreal? Yes. But have I had recent medical issues that were scary? Yes. So it makes it more like I feel like I've been through it possibly. And then fiscally, I've had to negotiate lower rents. I have patients that I'm helping work through this. So I think because every day I'm helping people either like to not want to kill themselves or like I think just like you with the cancer, I think I've been financially betrayed. I've helped, you know, I've seen like 40,000 hours of patients. I've helped people to not kill themselves, get off heroin. You know, I just had someone crying and saying someone stole her anti-anxiety medicine today. She was in a panic. Oh my goodness. And she was like crying so hard. I literally said to her, let's do FaceTime right now. This can't just be a call. You need to see my eyes. We need to take a deep breath together. And so with your question about, is it surreal? It is, but then we all have to make it manageable for each of our own situations. And I think you're such a great role model because you have not only, how do I want to put this? Your immune system, your mind, body, and soul have fought and won against cancer, but then you've given back to the world. You have been a successful businesswoman. And then you've done what I think we all can do is go into the suffering and master it. So you went ahead and you have your energy practitioner therapy practice and mindset. So you kind of really leveled up. And I think during a time like a pandemic, we have the opportunity to all go deeper within and be healthier. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I think that's a great valid point. I think this is the time to really, really dig way deep inside because we have a lot of time to do so. We have no choice but to sit with ourselves, and a lot of us aren't used to that, and really, really dig in to figure out, you know, who am I? What am I? What do I want to do? Or how do I want to spend the rest of my life? What interests me? I mean, I'm going through this right now. Like you said earlier, I'm going through a transition. I had a very, very stable job. I made a lot, you know, I did really well financially. I met a lot of great people and clients, and I had a routine, and that routine is gone. That financial security is gone. But I have to tell you, I'm kind of, in a way, my anxiety and my relief is such that we're all going through this together. I am one of those people that are on unemployment right now, trying to figure it out, trying to, like, once this is over, it's like, okay, well, the economy is suffering. How am I going to get that job? Or what am I going to do? How am I going to be innovative? And it's really, really pushing me to try to figure out what I want to do and how to, again, give back, but also be productive and go along with the new, what I call a new chapter, a new world, because I really feel that it's like a new beginning for a lot of us. We're all going through this. What are we going to do? How are we going to, there's people out there that are not going to have the businesses that they built for 10, 12, 13, 14 years or so to go back to. What are they going to do? They have to be innovative and creative again and have the strength to step up and continue. So this is really, really forcing us to look within and figure it out, like, quickly.
No,
it's like being expedited.
Thank you so much. And I was wondering if, with your really well said, and I just want to say that when you speak on such a vulnerable and real level, it's like we really are all trying to do our best. How do we put food, shelter? How do we have food, shelter, and clothing? How do we have our future? And we have to focus on the moment, but it's okay to then reach out to family and friends and be creative with job opportunities or be even creative. One of my friends, I said to her, if you don't get this job coming up, maybe you and your son, I actually said this. I said, worst case scenario, you can move in with us. I know that sounds extreme, but I didn't want her to feel like she didn't have anyone here. And I think I even said that to you. And then I'm like, gosh, I even told my son this and it made me feel better. I said, now, Kieran, if we need to for a while, because we don't know what's going on with the world, we might move to a different place. And I go, but don't worry, we're going to be fine in the end. And I wasn't doing it from a scary perspective, almost like naming and claiming it. And that's part of cognitive behavioral therapy. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen, right? You ask yourself that. And then you're like, okay, if this is the worst thing, then I at least have a solution. So going to that place where you have a plan and you have someone that cares about you is super healing too. And you're like, you don't feel like you're alone.
I think it's so wonderful. And I had this similar thought process. I have an extra room upstairs and downstairs. I thought, you know what, maybe I'll just stick in a mattress there and make that an extra room. Like, heaven forbid someone needs to stay somewhere. And I think that's where the beauty of it is that people are actually, you know, looking, you know, with one another and making certain people like family, like especially those that don't have family around them. And even the thought and the kind words of telling them that they have a place to go to, worst case scenario, is so healing in itself. Because it may not happen, but just that person knows, okay, I'm not going to be out of the street. I have a place to go, worst case scenario.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, one thing I know about you is besides being an energy therapist, you have such a passion for inspiring people who also are survivors of cancer, the environment, and animals. Where can people find you? And, like, I know you have a website and that's kind of all evolving, but how can people reach you if they wanted to talk with you about your work and maybe get some of your services?
They can email me or even go on my Instagram or Facebook. I can give you my email address. I mean, they can email me at thirdeyebuddha1@gmail.com for any type of healing services or just to talk. I mean, I don't mind doing that as well, especially since times are tough financially for people. Like, I'd love to be able to give them some insight, but, or my Facebook or my Instagram, which is right now, I changed it to Marjani Moo Moo. That was my old name. because I want humor around me right now, and this is a source of, I just want to be able to have an escapism through funny things and humor and comedy. So
that's great. Well, we'll put a link. I'll get that from you. Maybe you can email me all the ways people can reach you, and I can put that in with your bio. And then one thing I wanted to say, because you have trained as an energy therapist and I bridge West and Eastern, do you have any specific breathing techniques or energy things where people can kind of restore their own energy that we could kind of leave this interview with?
That's a great question. I find that when I work on a lot of people, they're not into their bodies, and the majority of time I'm pulling them back into their bodies. So I feel, and that happens a lot from stress and anxiety, and when you're so much in your head and you're thinking all the time and you have all these thoughts, I would really, really recommend grounding. And I just, you know, right now the beaches are closed, but even if you can go outside barefoot and just, you know, feel the grass, or just somehow, you know, walk around barefoot in the house, or feel like you're part of yourself. I love long walks. That really helps ground me. I like to do physical things. So some people like to read books and escape through there, but something that's going to take you back into yourself, so you're not so much into your head. And that's what we call grounding. So you're kind of feel solid, you feel like you're present, you're actually present. And I find that living day to day and not even thinking about the future, don't think about what's going to happen, really helps my anxiety levels personally. So I just, everything is day to day right now for me, and it's really learning and teaching us how to live in the moment.
Yes, I often say, like, if one of my mantras to kind of self-soothe is, the only moment we have is right now. And then I have different jewelry and different mental techniques I've discussed on other shows. But what you're saying is so important. And it's important advice during a time of pandemic or non-pandemic or our own personal crisis or surviving through cancer or surviving through COVID. And Marjan, I just want to thank you so much for your time today and being willing to talk.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so honored for you to even ask me to be on your show. I love your show and who you are as a person. So that meant the world to me, and I hope that somehow I can help somebody and just make their day a little bit brighter and less anxious by doing this. So thank you for allowing me to do so.
Thank you so much, Marjan, too. And I'm sending you so much love, and I'm sending everyone else a big smile. And also, we've got this. We're going to flatten the curve and take good care, and we'll be back soon. Thank you.
Thank you.